What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Student Loan Planner Podcast. Today is the Financially Free Friday episode. I have Sim with me today. I'm not by myself this time. Welcome back, Sim.
What's up, everybody?
Copy paste the intro. Today, we are going to do something a little different. A lot of times I give you guys checklists or to-do lists, a list of things for us to chat about. Today is going to be more of a conversation. You know, maybe we don't even have a conclusion towards the end about how this specifically ties into your personal financial situation. But I thought recent news about the murder of the United Healthcare CEO could be something to discuss because it does explore a lot of ties within the health insurance industry, wealth, greed, inequality, power dynamics. And really, I think what's coming down to people feeling like there's a big problem, which this is not a secret, but a big problem in the healthcare industry with profits over care. And we are probably speaking to the choir right now, right? With healthcare professionals being some of our common student loan planner listeners. But I think this is an interesting story, tragic story, but also like there's a lot of feelings and a lot of emotions behind it that I think we can dissect and talk about in a productive way when it comes to finance and personal finance in general. But interesting story. Sim actually went to college with this person, right?
I would not say with this person, but at the same school. Yeah.
Not Brian, but the shooter. Sorry.
The shooter. Yeah. So Luigi Mangione, he went to the University of Pennsylvania. He was in the engineering school and he concurrently, I think it was concurrently, got his bachelor's and master's degree in 2020 in engineering, which is a few years after me. I graduated there in 2013. So we never crossed paths. But, you know, it's that one little factoid that made me super interested in this case. And not because I'm callous to any of the other issues, but unfortunately, there's so much violence in our world that you start to kind of become numb to it in a way. And so you hear about a shooting, even a major shooting like this, the CEO of a big company, and there's still a part of you that's like, ugh, well, let me go hug my family. And then I see that the guy went to school with me and I'm like, because I'm not usually like super interested in true crime. So I read a lot about this guy because I'm like, who is he? Like, what's his deal? And it kind of scared me a little bit because when you peel back and like, you know, who his friends were and the things he did, I'm just like, oh my God, I could have been friends with this guy like in real life. Someone like that, who's like super sociable, well-liked, intelligent. Like, how does someone like that do what he did?
Yeah, take such an extreme position, because that is what it's taking. It's taking a position against something or towards something. Murder is never okay, but it is very fascinating seeing some of the aftermath with public opinion on this. And also in a weird positive way, like public. What is the word I'm trying to look for?
I would call it like almost class solidarity that supersedes even political alignment, because, you know, you don't have to go very far. You can just like Google it, go on Reddit. And there's so many people, Democrats, Republicans, liberals, conservatives that are like united, poor choice of words, united, but
right.
Well, that was not on purpose, guys. They are in alignment. Like you were saying, they're not in alignment in the sense of like celebrating, although there has been some celebrating certainly, but just we understand, right? There's an understanding amongst these different groups. We understand why this happened.
Yeah, which is fascinating. Like, especially coming from a very contentious like election, I would say, like a very divided election, like how this is bringing folks back together, interestingly. So that points to like, dang, there's a big problem here that needs to be talked about. And
there's a lot of problems here.
Oh yeah, lots of problems. And we're not news people. We're not political people in that sense. Like we're just here to talk about, we'll talk about opinions, but I think we're just laying stuff out there. Like, let's just have a conversation about it, because just like money can be hard to talk about, like this topic can be hard to talk about as well. And so I think there's some things that we can really chew through together. So
Megan, what do you think is like, maybe we should talk about like what's driving so much of the anger towards these health insurance companies, right? Because so much of what health insurance is supposed to do is be a resource for the people. You pay your premiums every month or biweekly, and then you hope you never need to use it. You hope that you're healthy. But if you need something, you hope that you have the coverage because you've paid for it.
Right. So to its truest form, insurance, its definition is it's a contract in which an individual or an entity pays an insurance company in exchange for financial protection or reimbursement of losses result from a covered event. That is the definition of insurance. And in a way, like we talk about this a lot on this podcast too, like we kind of hope we don't need to use insurance, but health insurance, there's a lot of necessity there with like ongoing maintenance of just like your general health, like checkups, things like that. But it's also, of course, catastrophic coverage too, because if there's an accident or if you're really ill or you're dealing with ongoing illnesses, like insurance is supposed to be there to kick in and help you financially. That's the whole point of insurance, right? It's to help people financially get through an event that they need the coverage for. And so I think when we're talking about the CEO. So let's go back to just like a quick bio of the CEO, Brian Thompson. He interestingly started working at PwC, PricewaterhouseCoopers.
One of the big four.
Yeah, one of the big four. He was a manager in the transaction advisory services group of the audit practice, which is kind of interesting. And he joined United Health Group in 2004. And worked on U.S. government health insurance programs such as Medicare and retiree coverage, as well as community and state divisions, which provided Medicaid and other health insurance coverages. In April of 2021, he was named the CEO of United Healthcare. So I guess those two things are different. United Health Group, and then there's United Healthcare.
So Health Group being the parent company.
Yeah. So he was named the CEO of the United Healthcare company and tasked with leading the company's global growth. And his total compensation is kind of staggering. His total compensation was $9.6 million in 2021, $9.8 million in 2022, and $10.2 million in 2023. And we're going off of Wikipedia, right? We don't have his tax returns, but we're going off of Wikipedia.
The guy made a lot of money and he had a high net worth.
Yeah. Yeah. Under his leadership, UHC, that's kind of the abbreviation we'll use, their profits increased from $12 billion in 2021 to $16 billion. I'm talking about B's billion. And this is profits, not like revenue. This is profit. So revenue minus expenses, profit.
Yeah.
Yeah. In 2023, so about a $4 billion increase. And at the time of Thompson's death, the company was the largest health insurer in the United States, which is really interesting because actually I was under United Healthcare under my mother's coverage when I was growing up. She's a librarian. She works for the state here in Georgia. And that is who they have their employer coverage through. So I'm familiar with being on the client side of it or the patient side of it. Thankfully, I'm a pretty healthy person. I never really needed coverage or like excess coverage outside of just like regular maintenance and stuff. So I don't have any like personal crazy stories about the claim side of things or anything. But all that to say, when it comes to private companies, so we're talking about a private for-profit company, the CEO's job is like they're, of course, in charge of the highest executive responsibilities. So making big corporate decisions, managing operations and resources. They're the main point of contact or communication between the board of directors and corporate operations. You know, they lead the company. They make sure all parts of the business are working together and following a clear plan. They're responsible for shaping really the goals of the company, I mean, and defining the company's values and how the firm interacts with customers, the public, partners, and this is a public company. So it's, again, it's not a not-for-profit. It's a for-profit entity. It's something that you can invest in. And so another big piece to this puzzle is he's concerned about like shareholders, creating shareholder value and making sure that that stock price goes up. Is that maybe a fair way to say like also the financial side of it, part of his goal there? Or is that getting too in the weeds?
I mean, that's what I would say. I think that's what a lot of big CEOs care about is creating value for their shareholders and themselves. Maybe that's a little bit, disingenuous. You know, some people would say, oh, we also care about being like a values mission-driven business. But, you know, we can see through the fluff a little bit.
Yep. And so profit is definitely part of the CEO's role in any company's case. And I'm not like shaming any company that's for profit or needs profit. We do live in a nation that you can start your own business and you can make a profit. You can make your own income. You could grow into something, to anything in this country. But insurance is there to protect the people. It's there to protect people's finances. And I think it has gotten to the point where these insurance companies have gotten real stingy on what they're covering and how much of something they're going to cover and for how long they're going to cover something.
Well, this was like so much of the ire, Megan. This is why so many people are united in their anger right now is, you know, purportedly UHC had an AI that they deployed that apparently denied like 90% of claims.
Yeah. And so people are getting denied like probably life-saving surgeries. Like they're literally paying these health insurance premiums in the event that they need coverage for something. And if they're getting denied coverage, why are they paying insurance? Why are they paying the premium?
You know, when I spent like last week just like scouring the internet because I was like so interested in this case and this alleged murder, I was looking at some of the cases where people had their coverage denied. And I mean, it's really gut-wrenching stuff. It's like nausea medications for children on chemo or a wheelchair where they were told that they could get like a crappier model. But there's also a reason that physicians prescribe what they prescribe, right? And so we have an insurance company that thinks it knows more than a physician that went to medical school and did training. Like there's a reason why a physician might choose a specific medication rather than an alternative that's cheaper. And a lot of these companies, I think UHC included, they make you go through like 3 or 4 medications, right, of other options before they'll let you try the one that you already know works, which is such a waste of time and delaying care and can lead to adverse outcomes too. Like there could be a reason why someone didn't try the other medication first.
Yeah. There's two competing priorities here, and the company is striving for profits. And so how can you continue to raise profits? Well, you could increase prices, increase premiums, which I feel like every single year, my health insurance premium, I'm not with United Healthcare now, but every single year, my health insurance premium goes up for me and my husband. Just like rent, just like a lot of things, like things go up with inflation, right? So they can raise prices and or they can decrease expenses, just like we talk about in personal financial planning. Like how can we have more money at the end of the month? Well, we can make more money or we can decrease expenses or we could do a combination of the two. So a company is no different.
Well, you know what's wild too is like they could make money and like keep collecting premiums if we had more of a focus and an infrastructure on preventative care. Because if people aren't getting sick, they're probably not going to be filing as many claims. But we don't have that kind of structure in place that prioritizes preventative health care from the beginning.
Yep. So let's go back to what the heck happened. Well, this is going to air, I think, a couple weeks, maybe 3 weeks after the alleged murder took place. It was pretty gripping. Like a lot of people were by their TVs, like by YouTube, like listening in on like news stations, like trying to figure out like what the heck happened. Like this guy got shot in front of his hotel. This is not news. Everybody knows pretty much this story. He was shot right in front of his hotel that he was walking into for a conference. And you can see the shooter just point blank walk up, pull out their gun. It has this little silencer on it and takes shots at him. I thought that was wild to see. I can't believe, well, I guess I can believe that they put this all over the news. They didn't show like exactly the bullets hitting or anything, but they showed like the act of the person walking up, pointing the gun, and right before it was about to happen, which is, gosh, you got to feel something there. Like that is so scary. And he was so unaware that that was happening behind him. One of the things that, one quick little aside, is a lot of these CEOs for healthcare companies, they get death threats constantly. I don't think that's a surprise or a shock, but they get death threats a lot. And a lot of healthcare company CEOs or like executives will have security. And for whatever reason, United Healthcare does not have security or did not that day or something. Like he didn't have security around him. And so there was an opportunity for this shooter to go ahead and take their shot. And then they got away initially, right? They rode off into, I think it was Central Park on an electric bike or something. And they weren't able to be found for, you know, for some time. The alleged shooter has essentially been found. We think that's Luigi. But that's what happened. That was what was broadcasted all over the TV. And, you know, very, very sad for the family of Brian Thompson, but also very interesting to I guess, see some of the pain and some of the craze that's come after that with people almost being on the shooter's side. I don't even think I have to say almost. People are on the shooter's side, which is
a lot of them. There's like the hashtag free Luigi movement and like all over the internet where people are like, no, Luigi didn't do it. He was with me that day. And they're talking about like how attractive he is, like as if that excuses anything. Yeah. Like the narrative goes on. And he actually, you could tell that this was a very calculated move. The gun itself, they call it a ghost gun. He used a 3D printer to assemble it.
Yeah.
To get the different parts together. Scary that like someone can do that, right? Because it's like not regulated at all. He even took time to carve on like the shell casings.
Yeah,
deny, delay, depose, which was like a spinoff of like some kind of insurance textbook back in the day. So there's a lot of evidence there, and honestly, he might have even gotten away with it, but you know, he got kind of careless, decided to stop at a McDonald's in Altoona. Somebody recognized him. I'm such a non-criminal, but I would think that like if you just murdered somebody in broad daylight, you wouldn't like sit in McDonald's in front of everybody. You know, you'd be like eating grass in a barn somewhere.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But there are other people who are posting about like, you know, former criminals who got caught. And it's like, you take for granted like every move that you make to cover your tracks. Like there's so many things that they can find to track you down. So when they found Luigi, they found on his person the weapon allegedly that was used to kill Brian Thompson. And then they found a 2.5-page handwritten manifesto. I'll just read a small excerpt from it. Frankly, these parasites simply had it coming. So he says parasites, plural. A reminder, the U.S. has the number one most expensive healthcare system in the world, yet we rank roughly number 42 in life expectancy. So by using the word parasites, plural, kind of makes it sound like he maybe had an intention to do this again. Maybe that's why he still had the weapon. I don't know. But this certainly speaks to his motive. And he also says, you know, how he did it. This is fairly trivial. Some elementary social engineering, a lot of patience. My tech is pretty locked down because I work in engineering, so probably not much info there. So he's basically confessing as to having done it and his motive there. What's really interesting, too, with his background is that he comes from a wealthy family in Maryland, and he grew up with a lot of privilege. So he was like valedictorian in high school, went to an Ivy League school, had a great education, was very well liked by people. And so he's of like a conservative persuasion politically. But this is interesting because, again, these issues that Luigi raised certainly transcend political lines and are more so speaking to class solidarity. And even though he comes from like a wealthy background, there's sort of this point in history where you can see a lot of people who waged class warfare or spoke about it were wealthy themselves. Like Karl Marx was apparently very wealthy. So, you know, it's interesting when you read about it, but it's maybe not necessarily surprising that something like this happened. It's just maybe surprising who did it.
Yeah, that's maybe a good way to say that it is surprising maybe who did it with all the facts and like the details of his upbringing, his characteristics, like talking about solidarity. It is fascinating taking a look at just different people, different talking heads in the influencer space or in the news space talking about this case. One in particular was pretty interesting, Ben Shapiro. He's got a massive YouTube audience, 7.2 million subscribers. He's very conservative. He's been very adamant conservative voice out there for a while now. I think he's been out for, he's been around for a bit, but he's got a very loyal following as well. And what's interesting is he posted a video more recently about this case. The video was titled "The Evil Revolutionary Left Cheers Murder." So basically saying like left, the people who identify as more leftist are cheering the murder of this CEO. And he had a whole video about it. I don't know if it's still up or I don't know if it'll be up, you know, by the time you're listening to this, but it was pretty interesting. Like if you go and look at the comments of his subscribers coming to the table and saying like, hey, this isn't a leftist problem. This stop pointing the finger. So a couple examples or comments that were in this feed, you know, one was, I'm glad the comment section noticed the CEO was actually a criminal. That was one. Another really interesting one was, I'm not buying this left versus right crap anymore, Ben. I want healthcare for my family. And that was liked a ton, like 800 times. And then there was another one right below it that said, I just realized your entire business model requires us normal folk to hate each other. And that got 10,000 likes. 10,000 likes. And that's not wrong.
Isn't that so true, though?
It's not wrong. Like, I mean, and it's YouTube. It's, you have to have a stance, just like every big talking head. Like we talk about Dave Ramsey sometimes, like having to have a stance on debt and a very strong, adamant stance, because that is his face. That is his character in this world of YouTube. And so same for him. Like he has to have that strong stance where you can't talk out of both sides of your mouth, or you can't, what's the word I'm looking for?
Can't have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah. Or it's not as controversial if you're walking both lines, or you can see both sides, you know, it's definitely not as controversial. So it's not going to get as many likes or clicks or as much attention. So I get it.
Rage bait.
Yeah. Rage bait from an entertainment perspective. This is news also. He's also part of the news business. He reports on news on an ongoing basis. But it was fascinating watching like his dedicated followers start to see like, oh, you know what? You're wrong on this, actually. We're more solid. We're more like together on this topic as far as the problem of healthcare in America. Someone else said, this has to be the first time I'm seeing Ben get cooked by his own comment section.
So Megan, it makes me wonder though, like, okay, so we have this like really rare moment of unity, maybe not like celebrating the murder, but like the implications of it. And so I guess, how do we move forward? Because there's policy implications, right? Like people vote a certain way. And is the way that you vote going to result in a meaningful change for your family and healthcare? Or is it a case where no matter who is sitting in the White House, that we're still going to be in this situation?
Yeah, I think that's the scare. That's what people are scared about, is like, does it matter who's sitting in the presidency seat? Does it matter who you elect? Or is it always going to come down to profit? And are these companies too big to have change anymore? It's also like crazy. I think this is a well-known thing that was going around as well, but there was some changes on anesthesiology. There was going to be a limit, like a time limit on if an anesthesiologist was part of a procedure that was taking longer than X amount of time. I don't know exactly the details, that it wasn't going to be covered after that point. And it's like, what? You're putting a time limit on doctors to use something that goes, it's involved in life-saving surgeries. It's involved in surgeries that are very painful. But there was going to be like a time limit on it, or else there were going to be like financial repercussions to the patient, like to have to pay out of pocket for that. And that was something that was, I think, either a proposal or something that was about to be rolled out. What carrier was that in particular?
That was Blue Cross Blue Shield. I have heard a couple of interpretations of that. Some people think it was a direct result of the murder of, the UHC CEO, but...
And they repealed it. That was the point. They repealed it. Yeah.
But I think that they were also getting some pushback, and you can fact check me, drop in the comments if you know more, but I think it was the state of Connecticut was using them as like their carrier. And so it also could have just been the financial decision that they were going to get some major pushback from Connecticut, like, because they can just change carriers. So it's still, at the end of the day, regardless of what happened, it still may have been the financial motivated, you know, repeal from that policy.
Yeah. Financially motivated one way or another, like, or
yeah,
also like scared for their company's executives. Like, I mean, that's pretty crazy. Like if you're putting something into place that you feel like could make people mad enough to murder executives in your company, that's wild, right? That's when you know there's some issues here. There's like the money devil sitting on their shoulder saying, yeah, we want profits, we want more money. And then it's like, you're completely ignoring the whole purpose of what your business is about.
But you know what this reminds me of, Megan, to tie it back to what we do, it kind of reminds me of FIRE and like people who just save aggressively and they keep saving and like, they're good. They're already financially independent, but at what point isn't enough? When do you finally feel like this is enough? I don't need more. With the profits, it's like, I'm all in favor of people having profitable businesses. But like, at what point is it like, enough already? I have enough money. Like, how much more do I need that I can't even like take care of the people who are like, you know, dying and like doing transplants? I was reading this online, Megan, that number one cause of people like dying from these transplant situations is insurance denials.
Oh my gosh. That's like heartbreaking.
Yeah. Well, on both sides, the person who's receiving it, and then also like for the family of like the donor of these organs, like for those to go to waste.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Insurance is such a, like, it can, it's like a middleman, right? It's like you have this insurance that's supposed to be holding your back or like having your back, right? Financially speaking. And there's definitely ulterior motives there. So I have a few friends who are type 1 and type 2 diabetic. I have more friends that are type 2 diabetic. And that means like it's not by like lifestyle choices. You were born with this. And they had real big issues with insulin for a long time, like trying to get insulin, which they have to operate and function health-wise. And their insurance companies, I don't know exactly which insurance companies they were with at the time, and this was a couple years ago now, but they were just having issues with the price of insulin, with the different methods of receiving insulin. Like it was, you could either do needles or you could do like the patch, or like there's a couple different ways that you can have the insulin be, you know, coming into your body. And one carrier would cover this device, another carrier wouldn't. And then it was like, well, lifestyle wise, I don't want to deal with needles every day. And it's like, it was really hard for them to navigate. And I think that's gotten a little better. But the stuff that like people have to have medically to just live and survive, it is hard. It's almost like gatekeeped. Like that's a term in like social media, like gatekeeping information. Like they're gatekeeping these things because we have, you know, we're told we have to have health insurance, but then health insurance isn't on our side.
It's not even just the insurance. And that's like the bigger problem. It's also the pharmaceutical companies, because insulin, that's a great example. Insulin is so cheap to manufacture. And then they jack up the price artificially because they know people need this life-saving medication.
They have to rely on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like there's no choice. They don't have a choice in purchasing it. Like they have to purchase it.
There actually was a proposal. I believe it was Bernie Sanders who wanted to like import it from Canada. And then there was like a whole, you know, there's a lot of bureaucracy around that. So there's the problem just goes so deep. It's like, yes, it's the insurance companies, and it's not just the insurance companies. It's also everything else that is complicit in making this system, you know, I think the phrase is systemic violence, but that's what it is. It's a form of violence against people.
Yeah. Another comment on that Ben Shapiro video was, so this is from A Few Bolts Loose, that's her name, but I'm a conservative and have been since I was a teenager. I will shed no tears for this man. His policies aimed at protecting profits denied the insured life-saving treatments. We pay for insurance to help us with expenses we cannot otherwise afford. When they take our money but do nothing for us apart from paying our annual wellness exam, then the system is broken all to pieces. We, the working class, collectively live in fear of being hospitalized due to the staggering bills and lack of support from our overpriced insurance. If Thompson's death moves the needle towards meaningful reform, then it will be a worthy sacrifice. That's pretty wild. You know, again, I don't condone murder. We're not condoning murder here. We're not saying that this guy did the right thing. But it's really fascinating, like, just it's constant comments similar to this and constant stories about just issues with health insurance not being there and not being what it is supposed to be.
You know, this cultural moment is so interesting to me because there are so many things I think that we can do before we even have to even remotely consider violence. And that's why I think a lot of people are like, oh, well, I don't care about this. I think that we as like a society are not as politically involved as we can be. Like we're very divided politically, but we're not involved. People don't call their congressperson. We don't organize. Imagine if like everybody just like organized outside of DC, like peaceful protests. Diplomacy forward methods. We haven't done these things like en masse. And I feel like that would be an excellent way to start, right? I know people are like, well, I voted. Well, maybe voting's not good enough if we think that no matter who's sitting down, that nothing's going to change. So we need to organize peacefully.
Yeah, that's a good takeaway, even though we said we weren't maybe going to have takeaways this
time. We something. Call your congressperson.
We're smart. We can figure something out. We're problem solvers.
You know, we tell people this with student loans, right? Like we know, for example, like there's no tax bomb through the end of 2025. And so I've been telling folks, hey, call your congressperson and tell them you'd like them to do away with this permanently. There's a precedent for this. Sometimes we don't get things because we don't ask for them. And I'm not saying this to like victim blame us as people who are paying into the system, but like, you know, we have a role to play too.
Yeah. And that's fair. That's totally, totally fair. Because I know, you know, I could be more politically involved on the things that I care a lot about. I could be donating more. I could be volunteering more, participating more in conversations. And I don't. And maybe that's something that needs to change for the things that I do care about and I want to see change in our world.
So maybe that's the takeaway from this for everyone who's listening, is pick one thing that you care about, one civic thing you care about, and find something to do. Maybe write one letter, make one phone call, send an email, do one thing.
Yeah, that could be a good takeaway. But yeah, otherwise, today was just about two colleagues chatting about something crazy, and y'all were along for the ride. So thanks for hanging out.
I'm just so curious to see what else is going to come from this and this case that's happening. Like I said, I never care about true crime. I'm like, okay, that's sad, move on. And I'm just like now it just feels like it's rocking my community. Like my whole alumni network is like talking about it.
Oh, I bet. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, any parting words before we close out for today?
Do your civic duty, vote, and take care of yourselves, as always.
And I promise future episodes won't be so, I don't know how I feel about this one. Like, this isn't like a, I'm not my usual like upper self, you know, but this topic like is definitely more serious.
We couldn't ignore it. It was like,
yeah,
I think it's such a defining moment, like in our generation. Like, it's going to be something a lot of us remember for a long time.
Catch us on future episodes about maybe some more positive things and things that you can apply to your personal situation. Thanks for hanging out with us today. I hope you do have a really great weekend coming up. We'll catch you on the next one.
What if you could get fiduciary financial planning specific to your profession that's student loan aware, that could change your life for a price much better than you ever dreamed possible? If that sounds good to you, go to slpwealth.com/pod for a free, no obligation 15-minute intro call with one of our own fiduciary financial planners to see if we could be a good fit for you. This podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered individualized investment advice. If a specific investment is mentioned, do not consider it a recommendation to buy or sell the investment. Seek first advice from a financial professional before implementing any strategies discussed. All investments involve risk, and past performance does not guarantee future results. Yay, compliance.